Chapter 5. Polarization. I have in my possession a Christmas card from Taramata, in which her greeting contains these words, to the first Vice President of SRF from the second President. For years I thought those words from the second President were a misprint, inasmuch as Tara was, nominally at least, the second Vice President. It was not her way, however, to make errors of this sort, and in fact she always spoke as though she were the power behind the throne. Once she remarked to me on the phone, "People say that Daya and I run the organization. Well, it's true. We do." Taramata figures large in the story of my life. I can't really describe Ananda's origins perfectly without including an account of my relationship with her. Yet I must confess, it is a difficult story for me to relate. Tara was the most extraordinary person it has been both my fortune and misfortune ever to meet. There exists, I believe, a strong karmic link between us. She herself first stated this as a probability. Tara was a great soul, yet she possessed such an unusual personality that I find it impossible to describe her only from that point of view. She was a close disciple of Master, and was much loved by him. Master was also deeply grateful to her, for in her he found at last someone with the editorial skills he'd been seeking. It was not his temperament to give his literary works the editorial polish they needed for the general reading public. Tara was the only one he'd ever met who combined editorial skills, hers were considerable, with spiritual depth and attunement with his consciousness. Other skilled editors there had been, indeed, but these had lacked both spiritual insight and the necessary attunement. Their skills were merely intellectual. Drawing on their readings of other teachings, they had intruded into his writings other and sometimes incompatible ideas. Master quite naturally preferred even unpolished writing to editing that distorted his teachings. That Master needed an editor is more or less generally known. He himself made no secret of it. As he once put it, books in the astral world are written by infusing them with the writer's vibrations. On this material plane, things must be done with painstaking deliberation. Divine Mother disciplined me when I wrote my autobiography. The instrument of Divine Mother's discipline was Taramata. He was deeply grateful to her for her help. To a person like myself, for whom writing has long been a major activity, it is obvious that conscientious writing requires careful working and reworking. Equally obvious to most writers, I imagine, is the fact that a great deal of this revision is merely mechanical. Master's consciousness was too intuitive for him to be patient with these mundane details. What he wrote, though deeply wise and inspiring, was often what might be considered a first draft. Tara, in laboring to bring his manuscripts to polished perfection, would never intrude her own thoughts on his writings. More and more, as she worked on his books over the years, she found her attunement with Master deepening, until she no longer needed to check with him constantly, as she had in the beginning, to see whether she'd understood his full meaning. By means of this attunement, so he himself told me, she herself developed spiritually. Tara was not, however, everyone's idea of a saint. Deeply spiritual, yes. Deeply loyal to her guru, certainly. Mighty of will, unquestionably so. She was also, however, eccentric to the point of demonstrating little capacity to relate in a normal way to others. She was opinionated to the point of refusing to admit the very possibility that different opinions from her own might have any merit. She was given to making sweeping generalizations, each of which sounded like a decree imperiously presented before a lower court, this material universe. She so lacked the quality of respect for others that her high-minded disrespect amounted virtually to contempt. I remember once when the committee to which I belonged arrived at a consensus on some matter. A spokeswoman for the committee notified Tara by phone of our decision. "You're quite wrong," Tara announced in reply. "But there are 15 of us who feel this way," protested the other. "My dear," reported Tara high-handedly, "that makes you just 15 times as wrong." Tara practiced astrology contrary, it should be said, to Master's wishes for her. Shortly after the opening of Disneyland, so I was informed, she had declared that that amusement park would never be successful. It had been opened on the dying moon. Some years later, after Disneyland was already one of the outstanding success stories in financial history, I said to her on the phone, "I understand you predicted Disneyland would fail." "Oh, yes, what a pity. All that money they've poured into that place." Her opinions about people were quite as extreme. Intensely loyal to Master, and to anyone who continued, in her opinion, to be a good disciple to Master, parenthesis, having Tara as a judge, made this forever an insecure position, close parenthesis. She also had violent antipathies, particularly toward anyone who she felt failed to match her own definition of what a disciple ought to be, a definition that, as far as I could tell, included implicit agreement with her. Mr. Cuaron, the SRF center leader in Mexico City, a close and deeply devoted disciple to whom Master once said, "I lost sight of you for a few lifetimes, but I will never lose sight of you again," got on the wrong side of Tara by disagreeing with her as to the way the work should be spread in South America,